I'm preaching. Oh, so how's everybody doing? Doing okay? Yeah. All right. I thought it might be apropos, since this is prayer meeting night, to preach on prayer meetings. So I don't know if I ever heard anybody preach on prayer meetings. Joe, am I too loud?
No.
Okay. It's just me then. Don't just yell or throw something at me if I'm not loud enough. Anyhow, I want to look at four different places in the Bible where prayer meetings kind of show up, okay? And see if we can learn something from them. Boy, after hearing a prayer request tonight, it just seems like the things that are going on in this world, maybe it's just me, but boy, it seems like this world needs more and more prayer. I mean, it's just a ministry that we can't get by without. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you guys ought to, this is not going to be anything new, revelation or anything. It's just some things you guys already know that we need to kind of hear every once in a while and kind of refresh our minds as to some of these different things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you guys ought to know the verses. It's what, three little verses or three little words? Pray without ceasing. Yeah, pray without ceasing. I just see, such a great need for intercessory prayer today. Amen. Not just among, praying for the lost, praying for our country, praying for each other, praying for our pastors, praying for our missionaries. The prayer requests that, we get every week through the missionary letters, and wow, and just praying for each other, praying for our church family, for the ministry. So just, wow. If you happen to turn there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I quoted verse 17, but back in verse 4, it says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." This ministry that we have. Colossians 4:2, don't bother to jump over there, I'll just read it. We'll get you out of here a little early, maybe. I got to try and beat Brother Kevin from last week. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer." And it's interesting the way that it's worded there, because it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." How the two of them are tied together, watching and praying. Being aware of what's going on in this world and in our own church family, in our own lives, and then praying with thanksgiving. So before I go any further, I need to pray. Father, I thank you again for your so great love for each one of us. Father, Lord, if there's anyone here this evening that's not saved, Father, please work in their hearts with your word that they might understand that you're the only one that can make any difference in a person's life, real difference, Father, that they need the Savior. Lord, please, Lord, I sure need you. Lord, please guide my thoughts, my words, the way that I say them, the things that you want me to say, Father. Lord, I just pray that would be you speaking through me, Lord, and I pray this might be an encouragement, a blessing to my church family, Father. Lord, and that you might get all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The first place I'd like to turn to this evening is going to be another familiar place. Let's go back to Jonah. Let's go back to Jonah and see what's going on there in Jonah. Of course, you might be thinking, well, he's going to be talking about Jonah praying out of the whale's belly. No, I'm not. In fact, I want to look at chapter 1, and I want to, there's a guy here that really catches my interest, and that's the shipmaster. The shipmaster, there in chapter 1. Let's pick it up. You guys know the story, how Jonah, there in verse 3, Jonah, he fled from the Lord unto Tarshish and went down to Joppa and found a ship, and he got in it and paid the fare and so forth. And he thought everything was all hunky-dory, and he's heading off to avoid God. We'll get to that in a minute. But God had other plans here. As we see in verse 4, God sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And in verse 5, we see the prayer meeting going on. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Yep, yep. And they tried to lighten the ship, and Jonah had gone down inside the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And so we see this crisis that they're in. They're in this ship, and God brings this storm, and they're getting scared because they can't control it. And the shipmaster comes to Jonah, and it really catches my attention as to what this guy was saying, what he's come to realize, what he recognizes is going on. He's about crying there, we're going down. And we need all the help we can get. His crew is holding a prayer meeting to try to see some results from their prayer meeting. But this shipmaster, he comes to Jonah, and he says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God." And the next phrase here really catches my attention. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. I see here several things that he recognized. First and foremost was the sovereignty of God. I don't think he was giving much credit to his crew that was praying to their gods with a little g. I think this guy was recognizing that, hey, God is the only one that's going to do for us anything for us. He's the only one. He's the sovereignty of God. He was the only one that could make a difference. And he could see the need for intercessory prayer. Boy, we live in a world that I think they're right in that position. You know, some of them anyhow, aren't they? You know, they're going down. We look around this country and the way things are just going, it's just sickening. Yeah, and we have an election coming up. Just, don't get me going. I'll leave that for Pastor Caleb. Well, but wow, God is the only one that can make a difference. And what is... You know, what was worse here, we see there's nothing in this account that says Jonah does that. There's nothing in this account that says that Jonah actually prayed for the situation. In fact, what was the relation that Jonah had with God at that point? Oh, yeah, I can turn to God at any moment, you know. No, he was running from God. His relationship with God wasn't necessarily one where he could turn and say, oh yeah, God, would you help these folk out? You know, this ship is going to sink and we need your help. And are we in the right relationship with God that we can step in at any time, you know, and pray for people, pray for our church family, pray for our pastors? We need to be. Psalm 120, verse 1 says, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." He heard me. What an amazing God we have. Our relationship with him needs to be one that we can turn to him at any point in the day, you know, and intercede for somebody else, intercede for our country, intercede for each other. It's only kind of sad that, you consider Jonah, he was Jewish, right? What were the Jews supposed to be doing for the world? Weren't they supposed to be like God's ambassadors and taking God to the world or working as God's ambassadors to try to bring the world to God? And again, our relationship to God should be better than that. And by the way, is there any place where you can go to get away from God? No, there isn't. There isn't. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8 says, "Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." There's no place you're going to get away from him. You might better just say, "Lord, I messed up. Lord, I need your forgiveness. Lord, I want that relationship with you restored again." Amen. Yeah. I know sometimes in my life, it seems like what I would, my flesh would have me do, you know, and what I need to do are two different things. We need to keep our accounts short with God. We need to be in a place where we can get down on our knees and intercede for others. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? There's no place. You know, in my own life, my own relationship with God, I want to be in a spot where if he needs to correct me, I want that. I want a closer relationship with him. I want him working in my heart, in my life. We need to be able to turn to God at any point in the day and pray. Another place that we could think about over in 2 Corinthians 5, you guys know the verses again. How you turn from the old man to the new. How God gives us a new job as his ambassadors. Part of being an ambassador is to pray for others, I'm sure. It's included in that. As God's ambassadors, to hold others up before his throne in prayer. James 5:16, again, you guys know the verse. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our situation, our relationship with him needs to be as close as we can possibly make it. Which brings me to the next one, the next point. And it's going shorter from here. That was a long one. The ministry. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and this is kind of maybe a weird place to go, I don't know. But the next three are found in Acts, anyhow, you won't have to turn too far. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 and 24. So what's going on here in Acts? Well, we see the disciples and the bunch of the disciples and the people are, they're gathered together, excuse me, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with, and it goes on, it mentions the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and he's concerned about the ministry. He's concerned about who's going to take the place of Judas. And he goes through it. We get down to verse 24, and they finally get to the point where they pray, and they ask the Lord to show them which way they should go. Which way they should go. Now, I'm not going to try and see something there that's not there. Here we see a group of people like us, church family, and the need to pray for the ministry. The need to pray for the ministry. I'm sure Brother Kevin needs prayer for the youth group, for the things that he does. I'm sure Pastor Caleb needs prayer every day for the decisions he has to make. I'm sure that others are involved in the ministry. Andrew and the King's kids, our Sunday school teachers, the various ministries of this church. We need to hold them up in prayer like never before. They need wisdom and discernment, discretion and good judgment in making decisions and how they handle themselves and how they handle the ministry. Our teachers, our youth and ministry workers. Peter sought God's will for the ministry. We certainly need to do that for the leadership of this church family. And there are other churches that we see, that we know about, that are struggling, aren't they? Yeah. And I could name some, you know of some. Churches that are struggling in the ministry. What a day we live in. We certainly need to be holding each other up in prayer. The next one I want to go is also found in Acts. Acts chapter 12. We see another prayer meeting going on. Acts chapter 12, again, it's a familiar place, I'm sure, for most of you. And we find Peter is involved again in Acts chapter 12. He winds up, he gets himself captured, taken by Herod, and he winds up in jail. good place to be, right? And verses 4 and 5, and when he was apprehended, and when he had apprehended him, pardon me, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. That doesn't sound very good. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Again, prayer was made without ceasing. I know we're a praying church. I know in my own life there's times when I could do better, you know. It just strikes me that the day we live in, we need to be emphasized more than ever the need for prayer, the need for our church family. We've seen a bunch of people sick lately, back last spring, you know, just the various things going on. It's been a busy year. It seems like one thing after another going on, doesn't it? I know I'm tired tonight. I know Pastor Caleb's probably tired tonight. But it's like we have things going on. And yet, I don't want to get burnt out. I want to be doing what God would have me to do. And one of the things that I need to be doing is holding you guys up, and you holding each other up in prayer, and holding me up. It's just, and there's something else in this account that strikes me here. And the next few verses, we see what happened to Peter and how God answered prayer, right? Amen. Yeah. So what does Peter do when God lets him out of jail? What happens to him? Well, he considers the matter there in verse 12. And he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, they probably weren't praying about, who knows, the weather. They were probably praying for Peter, right? And just like we would be concerned for Kevin and his ankle. And we would be expecting certain results, wouldn't we? We expect Kevin to someday get that boot or that cast, whatever it is, on his ankle off in there and see him up here hopping around here like one of the kids that run around. No, you're not going to do that, Kevin? No. But we would expect certain results, right? Yeah. What happened here? Well, Peter's standing there. He's knocking on the door. No, I won't knock on the pulpit. Knock, knock. There we go. Knocking on the door. Hey, it's me. It's Peter. Let me in before someone comes along here. Let me in, please. And this young lady named Rhoda, she hears him. And yeah, it's Peter. Yeah. Hey, guys, Peter's here. What are you, nuts? Look at verse 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, oh, it can't be Peter. He's in jail. I mean, how did he get out? But Peter, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Hey, what results were they expecting? Did they think God was really going to bring him out? Do we really think that God is going to answer some of our prayers? And do we expect the results that he gives? Yeah. I'll let it go with that. It's almost 25 after, or it is 25 after, pardon me. So I have 5 minutes. But do we expect God to answer? We need each other. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burden. Are we concerned enough to pray? We need to be, especially in these days. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I hope it's not much farther over to the rapture. I really do. Because this place is getting worse and worse. And I'm so thankful for a church family like you guys. Lastly, over to Acts 21. And we'll hurry this up. Acts 21 verse 5. Very quickly here is Paul is back on his way to Jerusalem, where he's going to be arrested. And you guys know what's going on. on the trip over to Rome, and he's going through, I don't even remember where, Acts chapter 21, verse 5. Cyprus, they left it on the left hand, verse 3, and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for that's where the ship was to unlaid her burden. And they found disciples, church family there. And when we had accomplished those days, verse 5, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down and prayed on the shore and prayed. Another prayer meeting going on, but this time it was for a missionary, for a guy who had made a decision that, right one or the wrong one? Regardless, they were praying. We have missionaries, the prayer letters that Pastor Caleb read tonight, I'm sure those guys at one time or another had made decisions that maybe we wouldn't think were the best decision, but that's their choice. We still need to hold them up in prayer. I know they need financial support, but maybe even more than that, greater than that, is the need for praying for them, for wisdom and discernment, for protection as they go through the ministry that God has called them to. I know we get missionaries coming through. I try to pray for them every day. I try to go up and tell them, hey, I pray for you every day. And you'd be surprised the number that say, thank you. That's what's keeping us in the ministry, the prayer of saints. A church family praying for a missionary, not just the monetary support, but the prayer support. Paul desired prayer in Colossians 4:3. He desired prayer for himself. He desired, we need to be praying for our missionaries. And in conclusion, if you turn over to Colossians, over there to 4, Colossians 4. Or not. I can read it. Colossians 4, as soon as I find it here. There we go. Paul is admonishing the church or encouraging them, chapter 4, verse 2 of Colossians, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I used the verse earlier in the message. Admonition for the church to pray for each other, to continue in prayer. And if you look at verse 2, I'm sorry, verse 3, pardon me, getting all turned around here. And then he says, with all praying also for us. For the church, not to pray for themselves, but also he desired prayer for himself, for missionaries. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I know Brother Kevin touched on that. I think you touched on that last week, on that verse, I think. Be careful for nothing. As you see the world around you falling apart, we have a God who is not falling apart, amen, that we can turn to any time during the day, who knows the feeling of our infirmities, and still encourages us to turn to him for grace in time of need. In conclusion, Philippians 2:15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know what you are, guys? You're a beacon of light to a dark world that desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep shining a little bit brighter, and keep praying. I don't know, you want me to end it, Pastor? You want to close it or what? I'm done.